Welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. I'm your host, David Hochberg. We've got a bunch of women officers, chiefs, deputy chiefs, and a detective on, as well as AJ from the organization, because I want to get this right. Today is National Police Women's Day. So we are celebrating National Police Women's Day with a bunch of leadership women in leadership positions throughout the state of Illinois. So this show is sponsored by Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, give us a call. Rates are in the sixes now. So if you bought a home in the past 2 years or refinanced in the past 2 years and you want to get out of your high rate, now's probably a good time to give us a call to see if we could help you. 855-563-2843 or visit 56david.com. We'll go around, make introductions here. We have Chief Lally from Elgin. Congratulations on your recent award. I understand congratulations is in order because you won an award for recruitment. You want to briefly talk about that?
Yeah. And before I do that, I just want to say happy National Law Enforcement Women's Day to all the women in law enforcement, including the women that are joining me today. Thank you guys for what you do. And so last night at the city council meeting, we were presented an award by a retired sergeant from the Illinois State Police, Joanne Armenta. And she was just a pioneer in law enforcement. I think she did over 30 something years. I've had a lot of conversations with her about what it was like being a police officer, you know, during the times, which was like the late 70s into the 80s. And so she's part of an organization, Women of Color. They do a summit every year. And so she came on behalf of another chief to present to us the award, and we won an award for our recruiting video. One of our recruiting videos that we put out about 2 years now. So it was really great. I had members of our recruiting team. I had people who were in the video, and really, you know, we took a very concerted effort to, you know, you recruit, and when you use videos, you actually want people who believe the things that you are recruiting and saying. So, you know, we've, I think, done a really exceptional job, my recruiting team and all the officers, the men and women in the police department. So it was really great. It was a great award, great way to highlight, you know, it's just a couple minutes, but just it's another thing that, you know, every day working hard, every day trying to better the community and better the department.
Oh, congratulations. Those stories, a misogyny and sexism back in the 70s and the 80s were probably, you could write novels for what those early pioneers did, huh?
And I'll tell you, you know, and I've said this even, you know, I think in one of the last shows, even though it's 2024, my hope is for future generations of women in law enforcement. I've been a police officer since 1996. For future generations, that being a female police officer, that female in front of it will become, you know, not something that always needs to be highlighted, because we will be recognized as police officers. So obviously there is, you know, a recognition that we are not men. But I think, you know, to kind of, you know, highlighting women is, you know, it's awesome, and highlighting the men in your department. But hopefully one day, you know, it just becomes normal, right, to see female police officers, female police chiefs, sergeants, lieutenants, commanders. So not in my generation. Like I said, you know, what to your question, yeah, there's yes. The answer is yes. Yep. And, you know, so we hopefully for the future generations, we make it better. And so Joanne was one of those pioneers.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We're going to throw it out to Springfield, Deputy Chief Pickford. How are you, Deputy Chief Pickford? Welcome to the show. Your first official appearance. We've got two rookies on here. Deputy Chief Pickford, how are you? And what's going on in Springfield today?
Springfield. I'm good. Thanks for having me. I was happy to be here and looking forward to this conversation. Things are good in Springfield. You know, we're just keeping on, keeping on. That's what we've got to do.
Did any of this eating dogs and eating cats roll onto you? Because they said Springfield, and all I kept thinking was Springfield, Illinois, and I know it was Springfield, Ohio, but did you guys get any call to verify any of that nonsense or no?
No, we did not. So right. Hopefully all our dogs and cats are safe.
Thank God. All right, Detective Aish, how are you? Where are you a detective? Which police force are you a detective on?
So I'm a detective for the Bartlett Police Department.
Okay. Got it. I was just out there. We just closed the loan. I was out there Monday. I stopped into the closing out there. It's a nice little drive. Yeah, beautiful.
Congratulations.
Area. Yeah, beautiful. I got back safe. Nothing happened to me on the mean streets of Bartlett. Beautiful tree-lined.
I would consider us pretty safe.
Yeah, pretty safe. Yeah, it's like I told Chief Lally, I've been working out. I've been lifting weights, so I think I would intimidate a lot of attackers, as Chief Lally knows. That's just what happened. So how long have you been a detective?
So I've been a detective now. It's going to be a year. I've been on the force for about 4 years. I was hired in year 2020.
Okay. And Chief and Deputy Chief Pickford, I should ask you the same thing. I apologize. How long have you been a police officer, and how long have you been in your current position as Deputy Chief of the Springfield, Illinois Police Department?
Yeah, I was hired in 2002, and I've been a Deputy Chief since June of last year.
Okay, we're going to talk about, AJ, we're going to talk about some stats here. It's National Women's, what's the official term, Chief Lally? National?
National Police Women's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. There's a whole bunch of different things, way to say it. Yes.
All right. So
National Police Women's Day is the easiest.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So in honor of National Police Women's Day, we have AJ from the ILACP. Talk to us. We went over some stats,
mm-hmm.
right? And kind of, you want to go over those stats? How many women are in leadership?
Yeah. So in Illinois, and this is not by no means, this is not a complete list, but the one that I have so far. So I think the number of female police chiefs in Illinois is probably between 25, maybe 35. Just again, this is just kind of a rough estimate of what I've been able to gather. But nationally, as of a study done in 2021, 12% of sworn police officers were female. And that's in the entire country, but only 3% are in police leadership positions in the United States. And so there's a big initiative that's been going on for several years called the 30 by 30 initiative. If you've been following several different police departments, like the Elgin Police Department, Macomb Police Department, Moline's Police Department, they've done a lot of posts about signing on to the 30 by 30 initiative. I think Bloomington has also done that, where there it is a push to get female sworn police officers to make up 30% across the state by 2030 and across the country. So the 30 by 30 initiative is a really big push. We here at the ILACP have been trying to push it. We've been really pushing empowering female leaders in law enforcement. We're actually putting together a big committee about that. I know our Vice President, Chief Joe Leonis, is kind of heading up that charge along with that. So there's a lot of different efforts going out there to kind of increase the number of women in law enforcement, because it is so vitally important. Women offer such a unique perspective on things, and they bring a whole lot of skills that are very much needed.
Got it. Deputy Chief Pickford, how many women are, how big is the force down in Springfield, and what percentage of your force is women, and what percentage are men?
So I knew I was going to get asked that, and I'm trying to get an exact number now. But so we're authorized for 269.
Okay.
I think we're hovering around maybe 254, 255. We kind of have retirements and you know, things happen. We had a young officer resign yesterday, and it just kind of happens. I'm thinking we're right around, we probably have 30 or so, approximately 30 women police officers.
Okay.
So, you know,
10, 11, 12%, somewhere in there.
Yeah. That's when AJ said the national average of 12% women, I think we're right in there. Definitely have seen a lot more come on since I came on in 2002.
Gotcha. Bartlett, Detective Aish down in Bartlett, what's yes. your force made up of in terms of men and women split?
Actually, a really good question. It was something that was highlighted, and maybe later on, if we have some time, we would talk a little bit more about that. It was the second annual Women Police of Color Leadership Summit that was hosted at Elmhurst University at the end of August. And we actually highlighted those stats. We have about 24% female currently and 76% male, and that encompasses about 58 law enforcement officers. Within leadership, we have about 13 roles in leadership and encompasses 15% female and 88% male. So I would consider us pretty high in the female capacity of percentages, something that we are always rooting for. We want more women. We believe that women have so much to offer within the role of law enforcement, even just encompassing the community.
And Chief Lally, what's your force look like, and how, as the chief, does being a woman chief impact your decision making as you're promoting or hiring leadership?
So I'll give you our information first on our department. So our authorized strength is 195 officers. As of today, I'm at 205. So I routinely overhire to anticipate openings. My city council, my city manager is awesome. They've allowed me to do that. So just based off of our authorized strength and where we sit today, we have 46 women in the department. So that's roughly about 22%. We have signed on 3 or 4 years ago to the 30 by 30 initiative, which is, again, it's a aspirational goal to have 30% of your workforce by 2030 be females. Now, in terms of that, when you ask that question about decision making and promoting and hiring, and so my hiring philosophy is very simple and very straightforward. I've said it for many years. I want people with good heads and good hearts. That's it. Mm-hmm. And whatever you're thereafter, I think, you get more people to come to your organization, to look at your organization when they see who's in your organization, right? So first and foremost, I want people with good heads and good hearts. And so my decisions on hiring are based on, whether it's, promotions, hiring is based on people that have the training, the knowledge, the experience, people with good heads and good hearts. But we obviously show who we are, so we get more people who want to come here and, see what we're doing here and be part of the Elgin Police Department. So, I always like to, and I like to stress, to make sure that when you talk about women in policing, you don't do that at the expense of saying, that there's tons of great men in the profession too, as well. And I want to acknowledge that too. I'm married to a police officer. I've been married for 26 years to him. So, I work with a bunch of great men in here. So I want to just say that too, as well, because sometimes that gets lost in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so my hiring philosophy, my promotion philosophy is very simple: a good head and a good heart.
AJ, what's the organization doing to help these leaders and these women recruit other women and other qualified candidates? I mean, not only women, but, of good hearts and good heads to be part of forces throughout the great state of Illinois. I mean, what type of support are you lending these ladies in leadership positions?
So something that we're doing, like I was saying earlier, we've got a committee that we're putting together, Women in Leadership, Police Leadership Committee. We're working on that. We are also helping to push that 30 by 30 initiative, something that I've been doing for the past, probably since I came on board back in November 2022, is I am trying to have at least one article in our Command magazine focused on females in police leadership roles, as well as women in law enforcement as a whole, and kind of also narrowing it down to different sections. So that's another way that I'm kind of focusing on that, to really open people's eyes on how much we need more women in law enforcement and the different things that they can bring to the table with that. So I know Detective Aish, she wrote an article, I think it was in the last issue or the issue before that, which was a really great article, not just talking about women in leadership and women in law enforcement, but also her experiences and her faith and things of that nature. So that was a great article from her. We've had other different type articles. If anybody has more ideas and they would like to submit one, we're always taking submissions. We're also always here for support. If anyone has questions, comments, concerns, we have a members only forum. So if anybody has any question they want to throw out to the membership is all ready to hop on board and give as much advice as possible. And sometimes you really just need a sounding board, for a lot of different ideas. And it's great to really get that collaboration and be able to do it in a private setting where it's not just kind of out, on Facebook or something like that. So it's a private members only forum.
I got a question for Detective Aisha. I'm going to bring it back to Deputy Chief Pickford. Do you briefly want to cover what your article was about and how your faith plays into your role as a detective? And one other question, I'll just throw them out. Mm-hmm. What has it been? I assume you're working today. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes.
Okay, so if you got a call right now mm-hmm. that something happened mm-hmm. on the mean streets of Bartlett and they needed a detective dispatched mm-hmm. to the scene, you would go how you're dressed now. Would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you could just talk about what the reaction has been. Could you talk mm-hmm. about your article and the experiences you had? And then I'm going to do a follow-up question with Deputy Chief Pickford.
Oh, absolutely. I'll try to be as concise as possible with my answer.
I know I threw a lot at you there. So
you did.
You got 2 minutes. Go.
Oh, 2 minutes. Done. Okay. So my article was about women in police, and it talked about resilience. It talked about diversity. It talked about cultural representation. And I truly believe not only did it encompass my experience as a woman in law enforcement, but also being the first Muslim Palestinian American police officer to wear a hijab on law enforcement in the state of Illinois. So not only are we talking about women in leadership, which is so profoundly honorable in a position like this, and I hope that we do come to a point in history, like Chief Lawley said, that it not only stops becoming a conversation because it's not so common, but becomes a conversation of this is so common. We see more women like us that are police officers and that our initiatives continue. And showing that respect that there's so much other sort of cultural orientations that come with law enforcement and other genders. And so within my position being in law enforcement, and like you said, someone seeing me in uniform prior to that, I was in uniform, and now just being dressed in business casual clothing or just business wearing a vest over, it's still an uncommon perception for people when they see me. They're like, I've never seen an officer that wears a hijab that looks like you. And I truly see it as an opportunity to allow and show that there is a way that we can break these society norms, that we have to have more common perceptions of women that look like myself and that look like other women, and people believe that they can accomplish these dreams. Yeah. Was I surprised that I was the first one in 2020 to ever get on the force here in Illinois that wore a hijab? Yes. Not only was I here in the state of Illinois, but within the academies, within other sort of experiences, many other departments have never experienced a law enforcement officer coming in with religious accommodations. So it became more of an open door conversation, right? To say, hey, this is going to be more common. Let's make it more common. Let's have this open transparency about what it means to make cultural religious accommodations, but educate our communities and our police departments on what it's like to hire a woman like myself, for example. My faith, my cultural identity is truly what made me who I am today. I was born in Chicago. I was raised in Lombard. My family's Palestinian. I grew up speaking Arabic. I went to private school. I have a master's in forensic psychology. There's so much that I was able to sort of build of a background for myself to honor my identity and honor the community and where I come from. So I know that was a mouthful, but it's truly something I'm so passionate about. And that's where my passion was able to be highlighted in a summit like what I did this year.
As a resident of the great state of Illinois, if something went wrong in my house or in my business and I called the Northbrook Police Department, and if somebody was with a hijab, is that the right?
Hijab.
Hijab uh-huh. shows up, or a yarmulke. I don't really care. I just want, uh-huh. I want to know what's between the ears, and I want to be able, are you qualified to solve the crime? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care what you're dressed in or what you look like. Are you qualified to solve the crime? And knowing my police chief on a personal basis, I know he's not going to hire anybody mm-hmm. to do the job, no matter what religion they are or what mm-hmm. they're wearing to mm-hmm. meet their, religious, whatever, head covered, whatever it is, just do the job. Right. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we could get to that point where more people, unfortunately, we're not there yet in a lot of areas, but I applaud you for doing that. And, thank you for being out there and being a detective at Bartlett. I'm going to throw it to Deputy Chief Pickford. What does National Women's Day, Police Women's Day, mean for you and the recognition and other women on your force that you're getting a spotlight today for this being your special day? And do you think it helps you in your recruitment process to hire other women?
Yeah, well, to be completely honest, I didn't know it was National Women in Law Enforcement Day. It's been a little busy, and I feel like there's every day there's some designation, you know, but I'm happy that it is today. And, what it means to me is I hadn't really thought about it the way Chief Lowley said earlier, like someday we won't say a female officer or something like that. So, you know, maybe someday we won't need a National Women's Law Enforcement Day, but I do appreciate it. And it does mean a lot to me. And, I'm thankful for this job and the almost 23 years that I've been here. It's been an incredible experience. It's been eye-opening. It's been heartbreaking. It's been a wild ride. So, but as far as recruiting women, I do oversee our recruiting team. The majority of our recruiting is on kind of the shoulders of Sergeant Chris Rhodes, and he's done a great job. But, you know, I think having women being on the recruitment team and getting out there and specifically recruiting other women, you know, that's crucial. And I'm sure Chief Lally would agree with that. And also, I feel like some responsibility. Years ago, a deputy chief said to me, told me I was responsible for recruiting other women. And at first, I didn't really get that, but I was really kind of new in my career, but it's kind of stuck with me. And he is right. You know, who better to advocate for women in this job than women in this job, mm-hmm. right? Lastly, I feel now in my position as deputy chief, I really have that responsibility. Like, we have no female lieutenants right now. I'm the only woman in the command staff. We have two or three female sergeants. We have a handful of detectives, but, you know, that's enough. Like, because I'm knocking on the door of retirement here, and there's no female lieutenants that could be potentially brought up into the command staff. So I kind of take that really personal to, you know, when it's promotion time, to really push the females on our department. Hey, what do you think about taking that test to become a sergeant? And on our female sergeants, hey, you need to take this lieutenant's test, you know? So a little bit of personal responsibility feelings there as far as recruitment goes.
So Chief Lally, you had mentioned earlier, you know, the heart and the head, but what does a woman, a lady bring, a woman in leadership bring to a police force that the Springfield Police Department is about ready when Deputy Chief Pickford retires and there's nobody there? As a chief, what type of void does that leave within your leadership or organization?
Yeah, so I think what Deputy Chief Pickford is saying is she's spot on. And what Maya is saying, too, she's spot on. There are, I think, you know, I've been the police chief since 2018, and I was a commander, 6 years before that. So I've been in the command staff here for almost 12, 13 years. And it's always been men. It's always been men in the command staff. Recently, I promoted the second female commander. I was the first. Commander Heather Lencioni, she was the second female lieutenant after me. I was the first female lieutenant that was promoted in our organization. So right now I do have a female commander. And it's not, and again, you know, I want to stress this because a lot of times I think people get very sensitive sometimes about this topic. They're not getting promoted because they're females. They're not becoming sergeants or lieutenants because they're females. They're becoming, and I will tell you, you know, being a police officer from 1996 on, I've experienced some of that type of stuff before. And, you know, you really have two paths. You either just, you know, put your head down and you grind through it and you, you know, don't get a chip on your shoulder. And you just realize that, you know, the things that you do, the things that you say, you know, one day it's going to matter. Right. And so a lot of times I've seen, you know, females in this profession be very discouraged because they do have a lot of hardships. And so, you know, I think it's all how you view the world and how you see things and, you know, having that optimism. And, you know, my role here is, you know, being the female police chief is to make sure that when I leave, that this, you know, the things that we do here and have been working really, really hard. And sometimes you do get a lot of pushback. I will tell you that it's not as, you know, if you want to push some initiatives that maybe are not as popular, or maybe leave some questions, or makes people feel that they're being left out, right? So it's very important that we be inclusive in what we're doing, why we're doing it, why it affects us all. And in the end, we want good people here, right? And, you know, but, you know, I have right now, I have three female sergeants. I have no female lieutenants, but I have two sergeants who are ready, who will be lieutenants. They're on the promotional list. And I get that question a lot too. So we've hired a lot of females over the past 5 or 6 years. And I get this question a lot from whether it was the community or council. You know, why are there not more women in leadership roles? And so my answer is this: in order to become a sergeant, a lieutenant, a commander, you need the experience. In order to be a police chief, a deputy chief, you actually need to know how to do things that people will walk into your office and say, hey, DC, hey, chief, you know, how do we do this? Or so you need the experience. And so when I was hired, when I got to the police department, I think there were maybe 5 or 6 women. That was it. You know, and so when people take promotional exams, they take it at certain points in their career, right? 7, 8 years, someone takes a sergeant's test. Eventually, maybe 10, 12 years, they take a lieutenant's test, right? So when you're not hiring as many females, you can see how that domino effects makes it throughout your whole entire ranks. But eventually, as you become more diverse, you welcome more people who are knowledgeable, skilled, are capable. And then they have that other thing where maybe they are a female or you know, something other, you know, then eventually those people will start making, you know, your ranks will be different, right? So I won't see it in my career, but, you know, 5 years from now, you know, the Elgin Police Department, in terms of supervisory staff, you know, we have 22 sergeants, 7 lieutenants, 3 commanders, a chief and a deputy chief. 5 years from now, you will see the ranks be very, very different because more females were coming now into the police department. So first and foremost, you can't have somebody be a police chief, a deputy chief, a commander when they have no idea what is going on. Like, I mean, the community expects service. People understand that you know what you're doing, you know, and so I think that that's another thing where I think people need to understand that eventually, and whether that's 5 years now from 10 years now, but people can't be discouraged, you know, while that's happening. And some females, just like males, some men don't want to be police officers, right? They're like, no way. I don't want the scrutiny. I don't want, you know, everything I do on body camera, you know, the police reform movement, the narrative. It's men and women. People are like, no, thank you. Right. So I think it's more about the individual.
Well, then take it from there. Not only do you not want to be a police officer, but then to be in leadership position,
oh, yes.
You got a bigger target on your back.
It's very, I will tell you, it's interesting. I'll just say that, right? It's, you know, you have to, you know, every day when you come into, for me, every day when I come into my organization, it does not matter what is going on. It does not matter. To me, it's very simple. Take care of the people in this building and make sure I take care of my community. That's it. It's as simple as that. I believe that since day one as a police officer, my philosophy has not changed. No matter what craziness is going on, and, you know, a lot of times you never get an opportunity to explain your position, you know, the why. Sometimes you have that luxury, sometimes you don't. But, you know, I think, you know, eventually, 5, 10 years from now, the law enforcement profession will be very different, right? And it's not just because of gender or race, it's because of the profession itself and some of the things that have happened where the profession said, it's time to change. It's time, right? And if you're stuck back in the, I was a police officer in the 90s, very different than how we police today, right? And if you stay stuck, you will be frustrated, you'll be aggravated, and no good will come from it. If you move, continue to evolve, continue to, you know, push forward with some optimism, right? Shift your paradigm. Great things can happen, but you got to believe it, right? Like, people will feel that if you're not really genuine. So yeah.
I'm going to throw it back to Detective Aish. As a Muslim woman, what impact have you had within the Muslim community to as a police officer? Has there been pushback? Has there been acceptance? Have little girls in the Muslim faith come up to you and say, hey, you know, what is it like to be a police officer? And then where do you see your path, right? I mean, so you were patrol, you're now a detective. Where do you see yourself in 5-10 years? Do you see yourself taking the test that Deputy Chief Pickford and Chief Lally just talked about to become higher up in leadership? Or are you okay where you're at in being a detective?
Well, great questions. Truly, when I became an officer, it was it became a very open conversation. I was getting so many different responses from so many people, but it started with my family. My family was very taken back by my interest in law enforcement. I was a forensic therapist. They were like, oh, why would you want to go into law enforcement? It was something I've always dreamed of. And it was truly just a representation of myself as a female, as a woman, coming from so many different backgrounds that I wanted to apply my skills and assets to law enforcement. But it also started because I had such a great support system from law enforcement itself. Much of my friends and mentors were in law enforcement. So when I became an officer, I was almost introduced and invited to so many opportunities, whether they were public speaking. I was invited to many schools, going back to my communities, and in general, other sort of suburb communities that would invite me to leadership opportunities and luncheons, and to say, hey, we never thought in a million years that we would ever see an officer wear a hijab. And you being the first one, we want you to teach our females. We want you to stand here in front of our community and show them that this is possible. And truly till today and to today and for the rest of my life, it will be the most humbling experience because I didn't go into law enforcement to do that. I went into law enforcement because it was a passion. It was something I was truly interested in. I wanted to apply my skills and abilities to make a difference in my community and within law enforcement, to grow, to aspire, to say, hey, my background is in forensics. I want to work in, you know, hostage negotiation. I've always wanted to be an investigator, or something that I was very passionate about. And on board with that, it became a concept of breaking barriers. I received letters and a lot of accommodations from other countries and nations, and even as small as the world in France, saying, hey, a friend of mine was in an Uber in France, and he's like, oh, what do you do for work in the US? And he's like, oh, I'm a law enforcement officer in Bartlett. And he's like, oh my God, Bartlett, do you know this female? And he had my articles just on his phone. He's like, France is a big supporter of Maha. Please tell her that we love her and we care about her. It's so crazy. Bizarre to me that my name and my story has been a conversation even across seas. That's humbling to me, to show females, to show representation, to show the world that dreams do come true. Yes, we want to present. We want to show that women can be in leadership. Women can aspire to be who they want to be. I grew up in a Muslim Palestinian household that was fairly conservative, and it wasn't common for women to be in places like law enforcement and leadership. Yes, did I receive support and love? Absolutely. But it was different. It's truly important to appreciate that concept. Yeah, this is different. It's not common. Did I receive some sort of pushback? Not necessarily, but it's still something I believe the community is getting used to. I was part of, and I was invited to the Mass ICNA convention. It happens every year in December. It's a very large Muslim convention that happens in Chicago and Tosin and McCormick. And I was invited as a mediator, and there is about 12,000 guests that come to this convention itself from around the world. Wow. And I was there as a mediator and a guest, and I was in full uniform. The amount of people that approached me were just in pure shock that this was even possible. So yes, it's still a conversation that it's a spotlight of trailblazers, and not only myself, of women in general that are trailblazing in this world, but to be able to stand confidently and show everyone and show myself that you can accomplish what you truly want to accomplish, even with society norms, cultural norms. No was not an easy answer for me. Why can't I do this? What's holding me back from that? And sometimes there are going to be those difficult conversations within communities and your own family to say, hey, this is different. And I know it's a little uncomfortable, but being true to yourself. I went into law enforcement knowing I wasn't going to lose my identity, and I was doing it for my passion. And I was going to do it with the way that I look. I wasn't going to take away anything from that, because like Chief Lally and DC said, you can't you lose your identity, then you lose your transparency and your integrity to that too. And I truly feel that being myself is how I can be a true detective, a true police officer, and a true person. So to answer your question about my goals in law enforcement, it was truly a passion of mine to be an investigator. 2 years and a half, two years in law enforcement on patrol, I was able to get that opportunity investigations, which I'm truly appreciative of. It's something that is my niche. It's something I love doing. I love investigating. Psychology and forensics was my background. It's where I sit down and I can really hound in on a case. I was able to translate Arabic for many cases, whether it was something small or something very traumatic. I was invited to many other cases to collaborate because of cultural competency, right? At the end of the day, being a law enforcement officer is one. But then being a female law enforcement officer and detective with a background, I myself can apply my background to assist with other cases that are within our neighboring communities and that neighboring PD. So my goal is to hopefully aspire to grow within my position, to hopefully get on other task force positions, to be in a place of leadership. I think that's a great opportunity. If that's something that I get the opportunity to do, I don't mind, but I think at the end of the day, I think I want to try to focus on investigations and truly specializing in areas within that.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for all that. Deputy Chief Pickford, you said you're getting close to retirement, and through your 20 plus years of experience, for other women law officers out there or other chiefs that have women on the force, what would you tell them about a path to where you got to be, right? Of the position that you've earned as Deputy Chief of Springfield. What nuggets of knowledge would you give a young female police officer currently on the force or somebody that might be in college or high school and that sees this video and sees this podcast who's considering going into law enforcement?
Yeah. you know, I would just say, I think we all came on, became police officers kind of with some goals, you know, in the back of our mind. Like, you know, I know I did 4 years of patrol on midnights and had a lot of fun. It was great. But I feel like from very early on, I kind of had like aspirations to like, I always thought like, I'm going to be here 20 plus years. What can I do? What needs to be changed? Or what can I help change? What can I bring in? You know, what can I do in my time here? not professing that I can do great things, but you know, like we all see changes that need to be made within our department. And, you know, I would just tell females that are contemplating coming into this career or new officers. We've been hiring so many new officers, and we have hired some females that are just outstanding young officers. And I know they're going to be up here someday. I can just pick them out. You know, I would just tell them, you know, whatever your goals are, you know, you might be in investigations right now, or you might be in patrol right now, but keep those things up here and within reach and always strive for them. You know, like when I was in that spot, I had this goal, but I didn't really make it. I just kept it inside, internal, and that just kind of helped me. You know, sometimes I'll say I had to claw my way up here, and sometimes I feel like that. And in all actuality, I did, you know. So I would just, you know, the opportunities is there. You just have to, you know, set goals for yourself and work to get there. You know, it takes work, but if that's really what you want to do, if that's really what you aspire to do, then you can do it.
Get it, right? Yeah. If you want it, yeah. Go after it.
Right.
So, AJ, what is the organization doing to help support these women to bring in other women into their organizations? Like, you know, the young girl out there in grade school that sees Detective Aish at out for lunch in Bartlett, right, and goes up to her and she's eating with other police officers and asks her a question, or you know, Deputy Chief Pickford down in Springfield or Chief Lally in Elgin. What is the organization doing to help make awareness available to young girls who become young ladies, who become women, who start, you know, I've got three daughters, right? You know, they want to be, you know, I got a sophomore in college who's changed her career three or four times already, and she's freaking out. I'm like, you're 19, all right, relax. Okay, so what do you do for those high school programs? Because, you know, you get into junior, senior year in high school, you're trying, some kids are starting to map out where they want to be with college, and sometimes college isn't for them. They might want to go into something else, being a plumber, electrician, a bookkeeper, an accountant, you know, whatever, police officer, fireman, firewoman. What type of support is the organization providing these ladies to help them grow their forces?
Well, we're really working to promote and push, whether it be on, a lot of it is on social media. Is I've come across a number of different posts from different agencies who are members of our association, and sharing those posts about them and those one-on-one interactions with girls and their community, and being able to push out how, I mean, just there was a picture I found the other day, this little girl who was stopped by a police officer to talk to her, and the look on that little girl's face, it just struck such a chord with me. It was like this look of awe, and I could just tell him, like, her life has just changed. Her outlook has just changed on police work. And so I had to share that picture. And the more we make this a common thing, seeing female officers, seeing even little girls wanting to become officers. I think there's a little girl named Sophia in Pekin, but she is just this all-star girl. We just gave her an Outstanding Citizen Award last year because of all she does. She was 5 years old last year, and she has done so much for law enforcement and shown so much love to law enforcement. She just does outstanding work. And she's what, in kindergarten? So we want to promote that. We want to honor that as much as possible. So that's why I think we had about four of our members of the board of officers down there to present her with that certificate and honor her and help promote exactly what she's doing with first responders. Like I've said before, we are always here 24/7, 365. You have a question, you need an answer, you want to talk about something, you have a concern, we're here for you. We will help you in any way, shape, or form. We will connect you with the right people. We have a mentorship program as well. So if you're a deputy chief and you're wanting to get to that chief position, we can hook you up with another chief who can help guide you through that process, which is great. The mentorship program, we promote it all the time, doing things like this podcast, putting out the articles, and just making it more common to see women in law enforcement and little girls wanting to be in law enforcement. It really matters. We just had our first female president of the association last year in our entire history. The association's been around since 1941. So just to show how long it took for us to get that first female president. And then you look at just nationally, we just had our first vice president of the United States. And that was just, I mean, that's still happening. And we may even get the first female president of the United States. You never know. So much is happening in the world to promote women in leadership positions, and it's becoming more common. And I hope one day, just like Chief Lawley said, you know, we won't say that they're the first female president. We're just going to say they're the, you know, first great president of, you know, the decade or something like that. You know, we won't have to add that qualifier on there that she is a female. But, you know, in the same regard, women do bring a lot to the table when it comes to law enforcement. And there's a lot of research out there that we try to push out and let people know about what they can bring to the table. Research has shown you're going to get better outcomes with women in law enforcement. You're going to be able to help you with the community trust, because women officers, you know, can be seen as more honest and compassionate and more likely to build relationships with communities. You also, research has shown you get fewer complaints with female police officers, fewer lawsuits. You get reduced discrimination, more community-oriented policing. There's a lot of research out there that we try to share with everyone on all the benefits and great things that can come from adding more women to your agency.
And we're going to go to the cleanup hitter to end this, Chief Lally and Elgin. We heard Detective Aish talk about her path and her interaction with not only kids, but with cab drivers in France. We heard Deputy Chief Pickford talk about, you know, crawling up the ladder and fighting for what you want, and the lack of, you know, women in the force behind her, and, you know, just having a goal and going after it and getting it, which I applaud her for, and other women out there as well. How impactful, I'm trying to formulate the question properly. How impactful is it for you and your force and the other female officers within the Elgin Police Department to get out there to do the one-on-ones with the kids in grade school and then the kids in middle school and then have that outreach to high school and then outreach to the community colleges and the local colleges within the Elgin area? I'm going out to Northern to judge a contest tonight in a sales class. And I know Northern's within 30, 45 mile drive of Elgin. You know, how important is it, and with your experience, for all those different layers of outreach to get women involved, especially from a woman in leadership position?
Yeah, so I would, I'll tie it all together. You know, when both of them talked about, you know, what their kind of, you know, what they did and some of the things that they had to endure and some of the things that they still will, right? So first, you know, I applaud both of them and really, you know, can respect both of them for, you know, their perspective, because, you know, I hear it, right? So kudos to both of them. And I think it's important too that, you know, for me, it was always about, and I always tell young officers, both men and women, keep your perspective, enhance your perspective, get out of your little silo of what you think is going on when you have two or three people around you. And then all of a sudden that's how the world is. It's actually not. Be very supportive. I will tell you this, women sometimes do not support women in law enforcement. And both of them, I can probably attest to and agree to that. And I don't believe in that philosophy. I do not adhere to it. You have to support other women, and you have to be open, honest, communicate, you know, rely on each other, just like you support all your colleagues, right? So always be supportive, no matter what, no matter how you're treated, no matter what it is, right? Keep learning, knowledge, learn, right? And that means you're going to, you know, things that you get through your department, whether it's training or any opportunities, but outside of that, you know, you're responsible for what you know and hear, right? So keep pushing, keep learning. And take every challenge as opportunities, right? And that's the mindset. And, you know, two most important things, stay humble and stay gracious, because I will tell you, you're going to get tested and you're going to be sitting there and someone's going to say something to you and you're going to be like, thought that might be going through your head, do not say out loud. Stay humble and stay gracious. And I will tell you that's something I've always done since day one. And one of the most rewarding things for me, I will tell you, you know, when I hire, so part of, I also am a teacher at Elgin Community College. So kind of what you're saying here, our community engagement philosophy, we have men, we have women, they go out, we do so much here. And you see it, you know, the little boys, the little girls are so excited to see the police officer. They see a female police officer. I've had it happen to me, right? Where you'll have a little girl come up to you and they're just like in awe. And so it's like, you want to make someone smile, right? Like it's so humbling. It's like, that's where in those moments you realize, like, you know, the world is a big place. And this little moment in time, you know, I'm going to do something for someone, I hope, many, many years. But I will tell you, one of the most rewarding things for me has been teaching students. I had a female student who talked to me one time. And, you know, she was very, I can't do this job. It's very hard to be a female. You know, I see what happens to females in law enforcement. And, you know, throughout the semester, and I was just giving her encouragement and sharing some of my stories, but I always kept it positive. I always was, you know, you're going to encounter this. Get ready for it. Someone's not going to like that you're a female and you're a chief, or you're a female and you're a deputy chief, or you're a female. Okay. So just be gracious, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe they change their opinion about you, but you can't change who you are because of how people treat you. You just can't. And you have to keep, so she, I encouraged her and she got hired somewhere. And I will tell you, like when I have female students come back and say, and even male students, but because of what she was really worried about and the challenges and kind of, you know, that it was very, it was like, I can't do this. And I said, what can't you do? Like, what is it? And it's more about, how am I going to be in a career for 30 something plus years and endure? I said, because you come and then you change it, right? You got to, and people need to kind of, and you know, your colleagues, men and women, you know, hopefully they see who you are, past your gender, past what you, you know, present, and they get to know this and this, which is what I always say. And then when you get a group of people that come together and truly are supportive, you know, you could do amazing things. It sounds very cheesy. You know, I believe it though. I believe it. I believed in since day one here. And that's how I choose to lead the department. So you're going to have problems. You're going to have people with attitudes. You're going to have all these things that are like, but you just stay gracious, right? And somebody say good morning, you know, clearly you got something going on. What can I do to help you? Right. And that's how you lead by example. And hopefully that's how you impact future generations.
Well, to all four of you, happy National Police Women's Day. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day from the mean streets of Elgin, Springfield, and Bartlett to join us on our podcast. Again, Chief Lally, double extra large because wide shoulders from working out. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I've been told. I got it.
Just wanted to reiterate that. Detective Ayeshan, Deputy Chief Pickford, and AJ, as always, thank you. And Chief Lally, thank you for joining us for this episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Again, sponsored by Team Hochberg, 855-56-DAVID, 56David.com. Same rates, discounts are applied to all your family if you're looking to get a loan. Rates are in the sixes. So if you're in the sevens or higher, give me a call. Ladies, thank you. Congratulations on all your success. Continued success and be safe.